All right, Judges chapter 18. Verse 1. Judges 18:1, starting in chapter 17 was the appendix for Judges. It's not chronological order after Samson at 16. 17 is not after Samson. 17 happened before Samson. And just going back over the times that were assumed before when it said they wandered from the Lord, this is how. This is part of it, not everything, but this is one instance and a few instances of how things were going. So Judges 18, verse 1, in those days there was no king in Israel. And in those days, a tribe of the Danites was seeking an inheritance from them for themselves to live in. For until that day, an inheritance had not been allotted to them as a possession among the tribes of Israel. So the sons of Dan sent from their family 5 men, out of their whole number, valiant men from Zorah and Eshtil, to spy out the land and to search it. And they said to them, go search the land. And they came to the hill country of Ephraim to the house of Micah and lodged there. When they were near the house of Micah, they recognized the voice of the young man, the Levite. And they turned aside there and said to him, who brought you here? And what are you doing in this place? And what do you have here? He said to them, thus and so has Micah done to me, and he has hired me, and I have become his priest. They said to him, inquire of God, please, that we may know whether our way on which we are going will be prosperous. The priest said to them, go in peace. Your way in which you are going has the Lord's approval. Then the 5 men departed and came to Laish and saw the people who were in it living in security after the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and secure. For there was no ruler humiliating them for anything in the land. And they were far from the Sidonians and had no dealings with anyone. When they came back to their brothers at Zorah and Eshtil, their brothers said to them, what do you report? They said, arise, let us go against them. For we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good. And will you sit still? Do not delay to go to enter to possess the land. When you enter, you will come to a secure people with a spacious land, for God has given it into your hand, a place where there is no lack of anything that is on the earth. Then from the family of the Danites, from Zorah and from Eshtel, 600 men armed with weapons of war set out. They went up and camped at Kiriath Jearim in Judah. Therefore, they called that place Mahanadan to this place. Behold, to this day, behold, is in the west of Kiriath Jearim. They passed from there to the hill country of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah. Then the 5 men who went to spy out the country of Laish said to the kinsmen, do you know that there are in these houses an ephod and household idols and a graven image and a molten image? Now therefore consider what you should do. They turned aside there and came to the house of the young man, the Levite, to the house of Micah and asked him of his welfare. The 600 men armed with their weapons of war, who were of the sons of Dan, stood by the entrance of the gate. Now the 5 men who went to spy out the land went up and entered there and took the graven image and the ephod and the household idols and the molten image. While the priest stood by the entrance of the gate with the 600 men armed with weapons of war. When these went into Micah's house and took the graven image, the ephod, the household idols and the molten image, the priest said to them, what are you doing? They said, and be silent, put your hand over your mouth and come with us and be to us a father and a priest. It is better for you to be a priest to the house of one man, or is it better to be the priest to the house of one man, or to be priest of a tribe and a family in Israel? The priest's heart was glad. And he took the ephod, household idols, the graven image, and went among the people. Then they turned and departed and put the little ones and the livestock and the valuables in front of them. When they had gone some distance from the house of Micah, the men who were in the houses near Micah's house assembled and overtook the sons of Dan. They cried to the sons of Dan, who turned around and said to Micah, what is the matter with you that you have assembled together? He said, you have taken away my gods, which I made, and the priest, and have gone away, and what do I have besides? So how can you say to me, what is the matter with you? The sons of Dan said to him, do not let your voice be heard among us, or else fierce men will fall upon you, and you will lose your life with the lives of your household. So the sons of Dan went on their way. When Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back to his house. Then they took what Micah had made and the priest who had belonged to him and came to Laish, to a people quiet and secure, and struck them with the edge of the sword. And they burned the city with fire. And there was no one to deliver them, because it was far from Sidon, and they had no dealings with anyone. It was in the valley which is near Beth Rehob, and they rebuilt the city and lived in it. They called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan, their father, who was born in Israel. However, the name of the city formerly was Laish. The sons of Dan set up for themselves the graven image, and Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, he and his sons were, were priests to the tribe of the Danites until the day of the captivity of the land. So they set up for themselves Micah's graven image, which he had made, all the time that the house of God was at Shiloh. Let's pray. Lord, as we see here, a lot of what we see today, people just do what they want to do. They decide that this is the way they'll do their religion. This is, they decide where they'll do it. They decide how serious they'll be with it. They'll decide who leads it, who defines it, and who can have it. And they do what they feel like doing. And so, Lord, we are a lot like judges and in need of a deliverer. And we pray, Lord, you would deliver us from the oppression of this time. We see it increasing. And that you would, Lord, give your people hope in you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was growing up, I've told you about this one product before. If you wanted women as a young man, you had to use High Karate cologne. It came with self-defense instructions in every bottle. Because once you splashed it on, the women were just all over you. Or Brill Cream. Brill Cream, a little dab will do you. You put Brill Cream on your hair, slick it down. And women just, you know, they can't control themselves. And people really, a lot of men would have bought those things because that's what the advertisement said would happen. And it was with a false promise that it would do something that it will not do. PF Flyers would make you run faster and jump higher because they had the action wedge. Never did. The neatest thing is there's this thing you can buy, which is a sonic bug repellent. You can't hear it, only the bugs can. So you pay whatever, 20 bucks, plug it in. Don't worry if it doesn't make a sound. Only the bugs can hear it. And who knows? They're not telling us. The ones that come by are still, I guess, deaf. And so in spiritual matters, we're also told things that are not true. When the devil wants us away from God, which is always, we're told the best thing that we can do is leave the Bible, leave the fairy tales of the Bible. And once we do that, we can tackle the problems of our world with modern thinking and modern methods. And we'll all be better. Our solutions, if we would just get on the side of man, we would be so much better, we're told. Books like Judges, Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, all these historical books, Genesis through, you know, Deuteronomy, that shows us things that are meant to aid our minds into understanding that we can't leave God and be better. We never learn that. Society never learns that. Christians learn it because we're awakened, but society's always working on a solution to the ravages of sin in some other way besides what God says. And much of that centers on setting the human spirit free. That's on the one side. To release our potential, which is being restrained if we're listening to the Bible. At the same time, they're telling us to free our minds from the Bible. They're telling us that we need new laws and regulations and new morality to keep us in our place, to keep us in line. And so we're oppressed by new things by getting out from under the Bible. And so not only the cause for freedom from God fail, but they turn us into another type of bondage to men. Because if you can leave and deny God his authority, you surely do not have the mind and the authority to put your own regulations and laws into place, but they do. And the powers that be feel they're better than God. God is old to them. God is outdated to them. And likely, we talked about the mask mandate before. It's most likely not about health at all. It's about that kind of control. To keep people from voting wrong, to keep people from thinking wrong, to keep people from thinking there's God, to keep people from depending upon the Lord. Churches are being shut down. All of that is, we're warned about. Solomon in Ecclesiastes wrote about how vain it was to have life without God. Now, these are messages from God to us, to those who will hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. A lot of people don't have ears. And so in this appendix part of Judges, it's fleshing out the kind of days those days were. Now, compared to today in our world, pretty tame. The evils of past times, these are very evil things we're reading about in chapter 18 of Judges. But we're only told about one particular thing here. And there are, of course, others. But the time of the judges was characterized by people doing whatever they felt like doing. There was no external control of that in most places. There was no king, and if the judge was not on the outside, externally controlling, they'd do whatever they want to do. And only when a judge would rise up and externally control them, then they would hold the line a little bit. But then as soon as the judge was gone, they were back to doing whatever they wanted to do. And so this is a revelation of what happens to a nation when we forsake God. There's plenty of them, but this is another one. It's interesting in the book of Judges how God responds to the disobedience of Israel. Because what we see in the early chapters is that they wander away from the Lord. And the Lord sends an active judgment upon them, oppression from another nation. And after they are oppressed for a certain amount of time where they can't stand it anymore, they cry out to the Lord for help. The Lord will send a judge, a deliverer, and he will defeat the oppressing nation. And as long as the judge would be alive, he would hold the people to the law of God. When the judge would depart, they would go back and repeat, rinse and repeat the whole thing. And so the Lord is actively halting the people from wandering completely away from the Lord to where he gives up on them. Eventually, the Lord gave up on Israel and Judah. Israel first, 721 B.C., 586 BC for Judah. They did it. And finally God said first to Israel, then to Judah, okay, you can have your own way now. And that's when they went into exile, when the nations were destroyed, and the Lord had had enough. And he ended them until he, you know, in his mercy brought them back. But in Judges, his long suffering and his patience are restraining them from the ultimate end. You know, it was quite a few years before that came. But in every case, and we see it today, in every case where men choose their own way, according to their own wisdom, it's believed that that way is best. What man has ever gotten lost driving in his car who didn't think when he made another turn that he had figured it out? He was on the right road then. Well, then he went that way a while and figured it was wrong and then took another road and now I got it. Well, our world is that way. We're constantly believing that our way is best, not just another way, but the best way. And it will give more freedom, more enjoyment, more pleasure, and it will also benefit others. That people are going to be saved by me doing what I think should be done. Parents have that right with their children. They need to be wise to know what to do to bring children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But to go away from the way of God is never right. And yet it is always perceived and thought that you're advancing, you know, we're being progressive by leaving the law of God. And when Israel pursued the false gods that they did, we've seen in Judges, they did it for the best to them. They wanted better crops. They wanted their wives to have babies. They wanted the nation to grow. They wanted to prosper. So Baal would give them that. Or one of the gods of the nations that were powerful, had a mighty God, a powerful God. They would worship that God. They would get power that way. So it was always for the best. They believed it would make things work out. So they walked by sight and not by faith, and they walked by foolishness and not by wisdom. So every wayward, immoral, and foolish act today, I believe, at the heart, is thought to be beneficial to all. I think the government believes, in the cases that they violate the law of God, that they're better, smarter, wiser, more caring than God and his word. Of course, it's impossible to benefit everybody. Your selfish desires will clash. Being woke today, approving immorality of all sorts, consider progressive, a great expansion of human rights and blessing. I can't call him the president-elect yet because, but Biden said this past week, I guess, help is on the way, meaning him. People who heard that, Cindy was telling me, retweeted what Ronald Reagan said, the 9 scariest words in the English language. I'm from the government and I'm here to help. He also said the nearest thing to eternal life on earth is a government program. Always, always, always. It's the ignorance of our falling into sin. It makes us think that we can live in sin, we can live without God, we can do just fine. People who forsake God seek themselves. The vacuum of that's left from this forsaking God, they fill. They've got to make those decisions for their kids. They got to make those decisions for the nation because they've left God. They fill in with themselves. And those who seek God's laws or laws against God's laws feel that they've won when they get their way. If a couple, same-sex couple can marry, finally, after a long struggle to get that legislation passed, and now they can do it, they feel like they've won. Same with all the other things you can mention you're thinking about that have gone crazy today. If we get our way, we've won. But that's not so. And let's consider as we look at this portion that narrative as to whether when they got their way, it was better. Was it really better when they got that which they were seeking? Was it better or was it worse? Now, this narrative in Judges 18, a portion of the tribe of Dan, wouldn't have been all the tribe of Dan. You remember after, this is shortly after Joshua, probably in chronological time. But they were to go and settle their allotted space. So they had to go and fight, clear out people who would maybe still there. But the land had been given, the nation had been conquered, Canaan, and they just had to go, but they still had to drive some out. And so they were kind of lazy about it. And they were afraid. And some of them fell behind in it. And so here, portion of Dan's going out to find a place to live. You remember in chapter 17, we're told of Micah's house and Micah setting up a sanctuary with false gods, with idols, a molten image, a graven image. And he got a priest, a Levite from Jerusalem, to come and be his priest. And so he'd set up a rival sanctuary in Ephraim so that that whole thing of the second commandment was broken with the making of idols. And probably the first commandment was, because once you have an idol, most likely you're going to stick another God's image to it. So you violated leaving God, and you violated making an image of God. So they believe that was good. Micah was very happy. Micah said, I got a Levite for a priest now, even though he wasn't really of the priestly class and was not authorized to be made a priest. He was happy because, you know, he thought it was good. So he made a personal choice, set up his own sanctuary, had his own gods, had his own place to go, didn't have to go down to Shiloh where the Ark of God was. And that saved a lot of time, made sense to him, and so he was living pretty well. When these spies come out, as I read in the text, these five men went out to spy out the land for Dan. They came across this house of Micah. They were impressed. They were impressed enough to ask the priest whether their journey would be successful. Now think about that. They're out wandering around, looking around, and they come across this illegitimate sanctuary. And they say, this is pretty impressive. Inquire of God, please, that we may know whether our way on which we are going will be prosperous. He says, it'll be prosperous. He doesn't even say he sought the Lord. He just said, it'll be prosperous. One of the oldest tricks of a false prophet is to give good news. If you give good news, you'll please the people you told it to. In this case, there's a little bit of fuzziness, ambiguity to his statement. It's translated various ways in our translations. Some of it sounds like he was making a more definite statement. But in the ESV, it says, go in peace. The journey on which you go is under the eye of the Lord. So it was kind of fuzzy. So that if they are successful, he gets credit. And if they are not, well, you got that ambiguous thing where he said, well, the eye of the Lord was upon you. I didn't know exactly what would happen. So he's playing both sides of the fence. And it worked out for him because it turned out to be a fruitful journey. They came to Laish, found it was peaceful and secure and isolated. And there was no one who bothered them outside and no one who bothered them inside. They weren't oppressed by a government. They weren't oppressed by a king who was hard on them, and they weren't tied to people on the outside. It was an ideal place for someone who wants to come in and take over a nice spot. So they saw that. So they went back from there, and they told back in, to the people what was the deal there. They said, what's going on up there? And they said, man, this is a great place. We got to go up there. What are you sitting still for? We have got to go up there and get that. We can take that land. So off they went. And we're told on the way back, they came again to the house of Micah. And the five men who went out to spy out the country said to their kinsmen, there's a sanctuary over here and a priest. If they had been true Israelites, they would have not gone to this sanctuary because it was illegitimate. I like to go to Best Buy. I haven't been in, what, 20 years now, but I like to go to Best Buy. If I pull up to Best Buy, I look at the sign that says Best, BST, Buy, BYE, Best Buy. Best Buy? That's not Best Buy. I'm not going in there. What is that? They come to this sanctuary. You wouldn't go in there if you were a true Israelite. Well, they go in there and ask for some encouraging words, and then when they come back, they steal the gods from the house. Apparently, the priest is out there talking to the men at the gate. The warriors, 600 men of war, were at the entrance of the gate, and the others went in and got the gods, the graven image and the ephod, molten image, and they stole it out. And the priest said, "What are you doing? Why are you doing that?" And they told him to be quiet, put his hand over his mouth, and come with them, and he's got an instant new job, a raise. You want to be a priest of one family? You want to be a priest of a tribe in Israel? And this principled priest, who shouldn't have been priest in the first place, said, I'll take the new job. Off they go. Priest's heart was glad, verse 20 says. Why not? Because they're not being governed by the law of God. You can be glad because it suits you. You can be happy because it you like it, because you're not filtering it through the word of God. So he had a opportunity for advancement. He took it. So they take off, and when it was found that they had gone, Micah, who owned the house and the priest and the sanctuary and set all this thing up, took off after them. And they said, "What are you doing here?" He overtook them and he said, "What is the matter with you that you've," they said to him, to Micah, "What is the matter that you've assembled together?" He said, "What do you mean, what's the matter with me? You took my gods. What can I do? You took my gods." That's the thing about having an idol. You can always take it and move it. And someone said these idols are so worthless they couldn't even keep themselves from being stolen. So they got taken by the Danites. And the sons of Dan, since they had all the weapons and the strength, said, "Do not let your voice be heard among us, or else fierce men will fall upon you, and you will lose your life with the lives of your household." So Micah, already deep in sin because of the sanctuary, cut bait and ran. He just went back home. He knew they were stronger. So they went on to Laish and decimated the place, burned the city, and took that land. We're told there was no one to deliver them, verse 28, because it was far from Sidon and they were isolated. So they rebuilt the city and lived there. They called the name of the city Dan. Very creative. after the name of Dan, their father, who was born in Israel. However, the name of the city formerly was Laish. Now notice what they did here. Remember, they'd gone to the priest, the fake priest, at the fake sanctuary with the fake gods. And he had given them encouraging words that worked out. If it was ambiguous, it turned out to be ambiguous on his side. So he got a job, and now they want him to run the religion. And so it says they set up for themselves the graven image, and Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, he and his sons were priests in the tribe of the Danites until the day of the captivity of the land. Don't read over that too fast. What started there never left. When they started that false religion, it was on them from then on. Till the captivity of the land was, you know, the tribe of Israel captivity, that lingered and stuck to Israel from that time on. Israel never had one good king in the whole bunch when they divided. Once they divided after Solomon, they didn't have one good king. That idolatry, that wickedness stuck to them for the rest of the existence of the northern tribe before the captivity. And they set those images up and all of that with the excuse of, you know, it's too far to go to church if we have to go down to Shiloh. It's always a good reason, isn't there? So they had their own thing. Now back to the common misconception. Now they've got their way. They got their land, they got their sanctuary, they got their gods, they got their priest. What they were looking for, they found. In their minds, they won. Our general way that people do is they fight until they get their way. And then they're free. They can be more richly blessed and be happier because they finally got their way. You know, you're a man, you want to be a frog. Well, then you can become a frog. And once you're a frog, you're happier. You can hop around smiling, eat flies, you know, you're happy. So this is the thought. I get my way and I'm happier. You know, the Bible says that when you don't get your way, it means that God has not given up on you yet. In Romans 1, when the people wanted the things that they're getting today, and they got it, the reason they got it was not because they got away from God, but because God gave them over to what they had persistently and stubbornly chosen to do. They wanted it and wanted it and wanted it. That's where, you know, Cindy always told me, her mom said, don't come crying to me when you get into trouble from doing this thing that I've told you not to do. That's it. When they're hindered, they're better. When they're unhindered, then they can run right off the cliff. All those toddlers, what do they want to do? Whatever they should not do. Touch the hot stove, walk off the ledge, walk off the cliff, walk out in the road. Are they better off when they get their way and their parents say, oh, go on then? No, they wouldn't be. Wouldn't be good parents either. It's when they're being restrained, limited, that there's still hope. Proverbs tells us, Proverbs 5:9, that if you don't listen to wisdom, and it was in the particular illustration with the woman, the wicked woman, verse 9, or you will give your vigor to others, your years to the cruel one, and strangers will be filled with your strength, and your hard-earned goods will go to the house of an alien. How I have hated wisdom is what you'll say. My heart spurned reproof. I have not listened to the voice of my teachers. nor incline my ear to my instructors. I was almost in utter ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. That's when God lets you go. People don't think God does that because people wrongly think that God needs us and will always hold on to us and not let us go if we keep persisting in our own way. And it's not true. Look at our country. Look at the world. How many places has God just said, okay? Now, we don't know if it's for the purpose maybe that they would be brought to repentance. Sometimes in the Bible, people go their own way. In Judges, they went their own way and they got sick of it. And they called upon the Lord, maybe, hopefully. But there's encouragement to us, even in this madness, because the law of the Lord will not fail. The law of the Lord will prevail. No matter what people say, no matter how much help we're going to get from the new regime, if it gets in, God's sovereignty and his law will never be shaken, not really. And we are of a hope that he's not given us over yet. There's still godly people in this land, and we're hoping that the restraints have not been totally pulled off. But our call always is to hold close to God, because, and again, this is what Judges does for us, shows us what happens when we don't trust in God. We get our own way. We follow our own mind, and we're dead. The deception of sin is to make us think we're smarter than we are. The most wicked people on earth have a sense of intelligence and rightness and a lot of education and knowledge. And they're uppity and proud, and they feel like they're entitled to instruct us. This is what happens. Never, ever go down that path. For a wise person, one wrong step should be sufficient. Unfortunately, if we're deceived and in darkness, our steps can be over and over and over again. It's crazy and foolish. To us who read Judges and we want to hold to the law of God, we're going to pray that God would send deliverance. But our job, never ending, is to always trust in the Lord. If it's too far to go where God said we have to go to worship, we still go that far. If that law rubs us the wrong way, that God has said pleases him, and the opposite displeases him, well, we hold to that because God knows best and is in charge. This is how we live our lives to keep from being where they were in the Judges. Let's pray. Lord, we've seen it firsthand. We see it firsthand. We see it continually in our young people and all through every age and all through every walk of life. The ravages of sin and how destructive it has become, and yet still sought and still hoped in as a better way. May we learn the lesson, Lord. May we rub that off on others. And I pray, Lord, as we've been praying, for a revival in our land. Heal our land, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.